Good morning. It is time to get up with the Cowboys, where one star is gone, one is rich, and the most important one of all is nowhere to be found. We'll try to make sense of it for you right off the top. Then Tom Brady will tell you why it is looking much less likely that he's going back to New England and where he should head next. And then the Texans trade one of the very best players in the sport and don't get nearly enough in return. Who's to blame? We can answer that, and we will, as we get up with you, starting right now. Delighted that you have chosen to get up with us during this extremely busy week in the National Football League. Greeny and Laura is here, and we've got our analysts ready to go from places all over the country. There you see them. Orlovsky and the Big Swagoo are ready to analyze all of the big NFL moves that we had yesterday, and most of the information, as always, begins with our man, Adam Schefter. Schefter is ready to go, and let's run the hurry up, Schefter, through some of the biggest moves in the NFL yesterday. It starts late in the day. Vikings receiver Stephon Diggs will get his new beginning after being traded to the Bills. How did that get done?
Basically, Minnesota really did not want to trade him, but Buffalo stepped up with an offer with so many picks, Greeny, that the Vikings felt like as much as they didn't want to trade Stephon Diggs, they felt the need to do that. And so they did that. They traded him to the Buffalo Bills. The Bills get the wide receiver that they have been in the market for quite some time. And the Minnesota Vikings get a whole bushel of draft picks. And that wasn't the only big wide receiver deal of the day. DeAndre Hopkins sent to the Arizona Cardinals yesterday. David Johnson sent in return back to the Houston Texans. The Texans get back a couple of draft picks. The Cardinals get a wide receiver who's a transcendent talent to match with Kyler Murray to move forward going into the future. And that is a perfect combination, those two guys right now. And then later in the day, the Oakland Raiders nab a quarterback, Marcus Mariota, the former Tennessee Titans quarterback who now will be looking to do to Derek Carr what Ryan Tannehill did to him in Tennessee. Mariota is looking for a chance as a backup. If he gets the chance, he believes he'll be ready, and we'll see how that works out with Marcus Mariota going to Las Vegas and John Gruden and Mike Mayock to back up Derek Carr. The Miami Dolphins were awfully busy yesterday, Greeny. They signed the Dallas Cowboys cornerback Byron Jones to a massive deal averaging $16.5 million a year. They bring him in to play cornerback, and he wasn't the only addition. They added, of course, Kyle Van Noy, the former Patriots linebacker who's reunited with Brian Flores, his former defensive coordinator in New England. They had Shaq Lawson. They had Eric Flowers. The Dolphins spent a lot of money and added a lot of players yesterday. And the day started, of course, with the Dallas Cowboys putting the exclusive franchise tag, exclusive, on Dak Prescott, which meant that Amari Cooper could go to the market. And Amari Cooper was engaged in conversations with the Washington Redskins throughout the course of the day before finalizing a deal late last night that had him returning to Dallas in a 5-year, $100 million contract, Greeny.
That extraordinary rundown of what was an extraordinary day in the NFL. And if you look at it from a Cowboys perspective, with Dak, because the money is there from the franchise tag perspective, whether they work out a long-term deal remains to be seen. But as of this moment, Dak, Zeke, and Amari Cooper have a combined average annual salary of over $66 million. For a team with a history of triplets, it should be no surprise Dallas now has the highest paid trio in the NFL. So Shefty is incredibly busy. He's got the information. Let's get the thoughts from our guys. Swagoo, we'll start with you. As the former Cowboy and you live there in Dallas, what do you make of the Cowboys' moves yesterday, the franchise tag on Dak, and then they get the deal done with Amari Cooper?
Man, good morning, G. And Laura, obviously, we've been talking about this deal for quite some time. And, you know, I have to be 100% honest with you guys. I did not see a 5-year, $100 million deal for Amari Cooper. The structure is important, though. And obviously, Dallas has talked about committing to getting Dak paid. But with that being said, man, we are back at square one of what we talked about on this show nonstop, feels like ad nauseum. Everybody else is paid. So now what creeps into the conversation is Dak and his side being difficult? Is it that much of an impasse that it has taken this long to get a contract done? Or is it that Dallas is not willing to commit to the guy that they see as their franchise quarterback? There's only two answers. And two questions. And those are the questions, G. Obviously, they've sent over some deals for Dak. It's come back and they haven't been able to reach any terms. But to see this happen with Amari Cooper last year, we talked about Zeke Elliott. We talked about DeMarcus Lawrence and all of these guys that they paid. Dak is still the man sitting on the outside without a long-term commitment with the Dallas Cowboys. It's mind-boggling to me to think that your quarterback, your franchise guy that you've said is your franchise guy, is the last one to get paid on the totem pole.
Yeah, Orlovsky, when we talk about this, so much of it has been that, you know, the Cowboys aren't paying Dak and all of that. But then maybe this is coming more from the Cowboys camp in all reality. What's your reaction to hearing that they might be really close and just cannot get this deal done?
Well, just if they're really close, you don't haggle your franchise quarterback over $4 or $5 million a year. We've talked about this on the show that if the difference is $4 or $5 million and it's a 4 or 5 year deal, you're looking at the difference over that time period of $15 or $20 million for your franchise quarterback. So like, who is being the more difficult party when it comes to this, the more unrealistic party when it comes to this? You know, when we look at the Amari deal, I mean, first of all, they had to get it done. You can see that the Cowboys, because of their mismanagement of the situation, costed themselves some money. I mean, that is a massive amount of money. It's really falling in line second only behind Julio Jones, and their resumes just don't match up between Julio and Amari. It's really what vantage point you want to look at this through. If you want to look at the Amari deal through the vantage point of he's the guy that resurrected Dak Prescott's career, because ever since they brought him over, he's been the best passer in football when it comes to statistics, right? So you could look at it through that vantage point and say, no brainer. You could also look at it through the vantage point of you just gave 5 years and $100 million to the guy that on the most important play of the season last year, 4th and 8 against Philadelphia, was not on the field. And that's the way you've got to look at it, Swag. It was like, which vantage point do you want to look at it through when it comes to this deal in the Cowboys?
I think it's a lot of things revolving around that. Listen, here's where we are. Where we are in Dallas is a new head coach in Mike McCarthy. So obviously there was some conversation going on between him and the front office of how important they thought Amari Cooper was to the success of this offense. You know those guys doing their due diligence and trying to figure out what's the best possible situation, not only to have us in a great position where we have a guy on the outside that's a number one, but to possibly put our quarterback in the best situation, even if we're dealing with a contract dispute right now. I remember Mike McCarthy at the combine talking about we'll get it done. These things take time. He was talking about he was with Aaron Rodgers and how much time it took, even though it wasn't played out in the media. Obviously, it's the Cowboys and we're going to talk about it. And obviously, it's Dak Prescott playing on fourth round numbers in which he got drafted. But with that being said, Dan, when I look back at the Philly spot and I think about that situation, whether it was Amari Cooper or Jason Garrett, a lot of things have changed since we came along from them trying to get into the playoffs. So I'll be interested to see what the talk is out of Dallas, how the response is to this contract that they just signed. But you don't sign no damn body to a 5-year, $100 million deal if it ain't been a lot of good conversations going on around what he's going to do with that franchise and obviously how better he makes Dak when he's on the field.
Guys, if I were to pose it this way, I would just like to get your perspective, because I think this is a reasonable way to look at it. If you look at what the Cowboys have done over roughly the last 12 months, they find themselves in a situation where they are about to pay a very good but not great quarterback. They're over a barrel. He will wind up having to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL or close to it. They have a very good but clearly not number one echelon wide receiver who they put themselves in a trick bag and have now had to pay him the second most of any receiver in the sport. They let the running back, who had absolutely no leverage, hold them over a barrel by going to Cabo. They folded for no reason, paid him all the money in the world, came in and then chose not to feature him this year in the way that we thought. And oh, by the way, all that leaves them in a position where one of their best players on defense signs a huge free agent deal with someone else yesterday. So from the outside looking in, it looks to me like the Cowboys have gotten a lot of this wrong. Where am I missing it?
Gee, I feel so bad that you just went through all of that, because I damn near feel the same way, man. But what I will say is this. when you look at what Jerry is doing, when you look at what Steven has been doing, when you think about these players, and look, when they gave the first round draft pick away for Amari Cooper, that was a commitment then. I didn't know it was going to be a 5-year, $100 million commitment, but we all knew it would be a commitment. And then the market dictated. Teams were in conversation with Amari Cooper about signing and getting his services. So there's a lot of things I feel like from the outside, I'm agreeing with you, G, that they got wrong, man.
I think the reality is the Cowboys, you don't want this time period to be known as a wasted opportunity. They've already lost some years with the talent that they had with Tony Romo and Jason Witten and Dez Bryant, and they never won their championship. And the Cowboys now feel pressure. They better get their players locked up that they have now and win their championship because they missed their opportunity in the years past.
All right, so that's where we stand as far as the Cowboys, but that is just the tip of the iceberg from a football perspective. As we get going, we'll have a lot more on that coming up today. Also coming up today, 18 months ago, Rick Pitino was on this show saying he was done with coaching. What changed? I will ask the Hall of Famer when he joins us live, 9:30 Eastern today, and then the clock is ticking on a decision from Tom Brady. His options are dwindling by the hour. We're live in Foxborough with the latest. Next, Get Up on ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Is there any possibility that you would retire?
I would say it's pretty unlikely, but I don't know what the future looks like.
Brady is going to be a real free agent for the first time.
I'm open-minded about the process. I love playing football. I want to continue to play and do a great job. I'm looking forward to what's ahead. Whatever the future may bring, I'll embrace it with open arms.
Glad you're with us on Get Up this morning, and we have reached day two of the legal tampering period. All eyes are on Tom Brady, now free to talk to teams before officially becoming an unrestricted free agent tomorrow. Brady has spent all 20 seasons of his career with the Patriots, but will he finish his career with the team that drafted him? For more on this, we welcome in Mike Reese, who covers the Patriots for ESPN. Mike, where do the Patriots fit in with Tom Brady's current market?
Laura, the Patriots and Brady no closer to a deal this morning than they've been all year. My understanding is that Monday was a day for Brady's agent, Don Yee, to really focus more on other teams around the NFL and to learn about the market for Tom Brady. And one team, I'm told, the Buccaneers, did make a pitch to him. And it was the first chance for Tom Brady to really envision what life would be like with another team. How many other teams are involved is unclear to me. But, you know, you go back to the history of free agents with the Patriots. They go out, they test the market, and a lot of times they come back and have a dialogue with Bill Belichick. Whether that's Tom Brady's intention is unclear, but it's my understanding the Patriots would welcome that conversation.
Yeah, there's also an important deadline coming up for the Patriots tomorrow. What can you tell us more about that and how that factors in with this decision from Tom Brady?
From a timing standpoint, Laura, you know, if Tom Brady is not on the Patriots roster Wednesday, 4 o'clock Eastern time, the team takes a $13.5 million dead cap charge. And that's significant because if they want to get a deal done with Tom Brady, you'd be starting at minus $13.5 million. So it really would handcuff their ability to give him a competitive offer in terms of the timeline as to what we're looking at. So really, right now, we're in the red zone as to Tom Brady's chances to come back to New England.
Yeah, very well said, Mike Reese. I mean, we are like literally hours away from finding out at least one part of what may happen here for Brady. Thanks so much. We know that you'll be all over it with the latest from the Patriots camp.
Meanwhile, we still have Marcus and Dan with us here. And, Dan, I'll give this one to you first, because you heard Mike Reese mention Tampa Bay as a team that made a pitch, and I know that's a place that has made sense to you. Make that sales pitch for Tom Brady to go to the Buccaneers.
Well, first of all, you get out of the AFC. Let's start with that. We've seen AFC teams, not only from last year, but in this past couple of days, get better. Baltimore is a much better football team. The Buffalo Bills have gotten better, and we're going to get into that as the show goes on. So get out of the AFC and go to the NFC. And if you look at that division, well, Carolina's in a rebuild. We saw Atlanta move on from some people. There's some questions about their team. And then you got to get past the Saints. So Tampa Bay has a division that is certainly enticing. It's winnable. And then if you look at the players that Tampa Bay has, let's just look at the weapons that they can throw the football to. Mike Evans could be one of the best receivers, at least talent-wise, that Tom Brady will ever play with. And then Chris Godwin is a young player that is a physical player that is coming on into the NFL. Cameron Brate and O.J. Howard, two really good tight ends. Everybody knows how much Tom Brady loves tight ends. An outstanding offensive mind and play caller in Bruce Arians. And then again, this defense, we talked about this yesterday. This defense that probably most of the country thinks stunk last year. The last 6 weeks of the season, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, when it comes to defensive efficiency ranking, led the NFL. They just re-signed JPP last night. And so this is a team that's got a ton of cap space, even with that re-signing. And so there's just so many things of why. There's so many boxes checked for why Tom Brady should go to Tampa Bay.
Hey, Swagoo, let me bring you in on this question, because Mike Reese just basically told us, from a financial standpoint, if he is going back to New England, it behooves them and it behooves him to have that done before the 4 o'clock deadline tomorrow afternoon. So the clock is genuinely ticking. If you look at the Patriots as currently constituted with Tom Brady back, do you believe they are a Super Bowl contender with Tom Brady?
Nope, not at all, G. I don't believe it, and I didn't believe it when Gronk left, because I was waiting to see who they would first replace him with. Listen, this is one of those situations, and Dan laid out a great plan in Tampa. That is a part of the structure that Tom Brady is used to winning with. But you guys know I have been talking about Tom Brady being done with the New England Patriots when all of this started. And I put him on the Chargers because they resemble what he had a lot of success with. Now, listening to Dan with Bruce Arians and thinking about the quarterbacks that Bruce has worked with and had success with, that's very intriguing. I still think the LA Chargers are the place for him, though, because of how it's currently structured and probably what Tom Brady is looking for at this point in his career. You think about Tampa too. What are they going to do with Jameis? That's still a question. Does Tom Brady want to go and have Jameis behind him and kind of tutor him? Or does he want to go to LA and play with people that he's familiar with? A receiver, a tight end in Hunter Henry, Austin Eckler just re-upped. They're rebuilding this offensive line. And for all the people that keep talking about this offensive line with the LA Chargers, since when in the hell did Tom Brady hold the ball for 3 or 4 seconds getting it out of his hand? I played against him. He don't need an offensive line for majority of the plays that he's throwing the football. So it's still an intriguing place for me in LA.
Dan, let me throw one final thought at you.
Let's just
to play devil's advocate, let's go back to about 6 weeks into this season, before the Patriots were decimated by injury, and at a time that they acquired Mohamed Sanu to fill, we thought, the void that was left behind by the disaster, if you will, that was Antonio Brown. We were talking about whether they might go 16-0 or not. That wasn't that long ago. So the notion that they've gone from that to this team stinks just feels to me like a very big jump in a pretty short period of time.
Yeah, Greeny, but 0-4 against the teams in the AFC that were really good. Tennessee, Houston, Kansas City, and Baltimore. 0-4 against them. 3-3 against teams that had winning records, and two of those wins were close wins against the Buffalo Bills. So, we've got to frame New England for what they are. They were the oldest team in the NFL last year. They've lost out of those, that defense that was so great, two of those starters are gone. Kyle Van Noy and Jamie Collins are gone. And so that defense is now weaker. I think of two words with New England. Why would he go back and how could he go back? Why would he go back? Because that team is lacking weapons still. And how could Tom Brady go back to New England right now? He wanted to be in this place. He wanted to be in the thick of it right now. How could he get himself to this position and now spin it and go, well, I told you guys I was just a great teammate, or I would take less money to come back to. I just don't see. I think those bridges have been burned, and I just don't understand how he gets back to New England.
Joshua Arnson is going to join us a little bit later, and he is going to say something very similar to the best of my knowledge. Guys, stay with me. We're just getting rolling here. Get up as we roll along. There was another huge move yesterday that you could describe as the steal of the century. The Texans gave up one of the best receivers in the league and got comparatively little in return. How should Deshaun Watson be feeling about that? We'll answer that question after we try to answer this one. A little sneaky himbo on this day. DeAndre Hopkins caught 632 passes in his first seven seasons. That is tied for the second most ever. Who is the only player who caught more passes in his first seven NFL seasons? That's the question. The answer's next. Get up on ESPN.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
We're back on Get Up, and a reminder that in an hour from now, 9:30 Eastern, the new head coach of Iona is the Hall of Famer, Rick Pitino, and he will join us live talking about his decision to return and many other things. Again, Rick Pitino live with us in an hour here on Get Up. In the meantime, the Cowboys are bringing back two of their biggest stars in two very different ways. First, the team yesterday placed the exclusive franchise tag on their quarterback, Dak Prescott. Then Dallas finished up the day by re-signing wide receiver Amari Cooper to a huge deal. It's 5 years and $100 million. Let's get the details by bringing in our Cowboys Nation reporter, Todd Archer. Todd, good morning. Where do things stand right now with the Cowboys and Prescott in terms of getting a long-term deal worked out?
Well, Green, with that tag, the Cowboys really hope that this is a placeholder to a long-term deal. But I can tell you, there's really not been much back and forth between the two sides. The Cowboys made a proposal on March 2nd that would have made him about the top three highest paid quarterback. There was a counteroffer, I'm told, but the fact that they went to the tag tells you that it really still not in the same ballpark. So hurdles remain to clear in terms of the guarantee, the average per year, and the length of the deal. Prescott's side would like 4 years. The Cowboys would like five. This can happen quick, but what you don't want to have happen is he would miss any sort of time here in an offseason program, whenever that starts, to where he's not learning and not under Mike McCarthy's tutelage. So you hope the Cowboys and Prescott side continue to work towards a long-term deal. But as of right now, not much interaction between the two.
Very quickly, is there any way to get an indication from Dak as to whether he would plan to sign that and report?
Well, you have to look at it this way. He played for $2 million last year. He's going to make at least $30 to $33 million this year. So that's the Cowboys' hope there, that that would be a situation where he wouldn't miss the offseason. And by putting an exclusive tag on him, that tells him, hey, we really want you. Let's work this thing out. But okay, all options are on the table.
Right. So we'll wait and see. The other piece of this, of course, is the decision to go a long way financially to keep Amari Cooper. Why was that so important to the Cowboys?
Well, you go back to when they traded for him. They gave up a first-round pick, 5 years of basic cost certainty to that trade for the Oakland Raiders. You don't have a guy like this for just 25 regular season games. And now you're in a situation where you saw him transform the passing game, and he and Prescott, among the best duos in the league, 1,900 yards, 14 touchdown passes. Add in the fact that Washington offered him more, and he chose to stay. The Cowboys had to up their offer a little bit more, so he would choose to stay. Now, Greeny, the Cowboys have the number one paid running back, the number one paid defensive end, the number four paid guard, the number six paid inside linebacker, the number 10 paid center, the number 11 paid left tackle. Oh, by the way, that quarterback's going to be in the top five at least as well. So a lot of money going around from the Cowboys and Jerry Jones.
It's an exceptional way of breaking all of that down for us, Todd. Thank you very much. And we'll come back to you as this thing continues to develop. And as far as Dak, look, it's not the mega deal that he wants so far, but by being tagged for 1 year, he will make eight times the amount of money that he has made in his entire NFL career combined. And even though he is finally being paid, generally speaking, for his worth and at a level equal to his peers, Stephen A. Smith still thinks it is not enough.
If I were Dak Prescott, my initial response is that I would plan on sitting out the season. You're not making a long-term commitment to me. Essentially, this is tantamount to a one-year deal. You're asking me to go out there and play on a one-year deal after the years of service that I've given you. 4 years, never missed a game, missed one practice, that made back page news, considering this dysfunctional environment that historically has been the Dallas Cowboys. The quarterback position for America's team is not just about throwing the football. It's about being that quintessential leader.
Okay, so we welcome back in Swagoo and Dan Orlovsky. And let's start with you, Dan. Do you think that Dak Prescott should sit out? You just heard what Stephen A. Smith said.
No, Dak. Well, first of all, no, Dak should not sit out. Second of all, Stephen A. respectfully is wrong. The Cowboys, per multiple reports, and Todd Archer just told us, have made significant offers to Dak Prescott. Like, we're getting to this point where they're making him top five quarterback. Top three quarterback money offers. And we always try to spin this or compare this in relation to guys that are similar in their age grouping, right? To the Jared Goffs, to the Carson Wentzes. Well, they're making him offers per reports that are greater than Jared Goff and Carson Wentz contracts. And so, like, I'm looking at it going, wait, 3 years ago, Carson Wentz led his team to the number one seed in the playoffs before he got hurt. Dak has not done that. 2 years ago, Jared Goff took his team to the Super Bowl. Dak hasn't done that. And so at what point does Dak look at his contract and go, you know what, this is a fair deal? Because this is the reality. If the Cowboys' offer is what it's reported to be, and it's top three to top five quarterback money, and Dak continues to say no, at some point, people in that building are going to be like, dude, what's the deal here? People, teammates in that building are going to be like, what's going on? Fans are going to be like, come on, man, it's time to sign this contract because it's a fair contract in comparison to what's going on. At some point, Dak's going to have to look at it. I'm not saying take less, but look at it and go, this is a fair offer, and it's more than kind of my contemporaries under Russell Wilson, maybe under Big Ben or Aaron Rodgers. That's a fair deal that Dak has to start thinking about realistically.
Who the hell goes in the negotiation and tells themselves it's a fair deal? Everybody is trying to break the bank, Dan. Save me with that. Listen, the conversation about Dak Prescott has been, we've revolved around what should he be paid? What is he worth? The bottom line is you are worth whatever the market dictates and whatever they're willing to pay. Dak has the Cowboys right where he wants them. This is exactly what Greeny was talking about when he talked about the Cowboys messing this up. It is the 11th hour. So what are the Cowboys going to do? Are they going to play with Cooper Rush if they don't pay Dak $2 to $3 million more than they are willing to give him? No. Are they trying to, have they already shown us that they want to be in a Super Bowl window right now by giving Amari Cooper a 5-year $100 million deal? If you don't feel like Dak is that quarterback in this window that you've created by all of these guys that my man Todd Archer just mentioned that you made top 10 highest paid at their position. Dak and his agent is sitting back and saying to themselves, oh, they trying to make this run right now. This is the best opportunity for us to not the highest paid to come in as the second highest paid or the third highest paid with the guys that we are mentioning. So a fair deal. Since when does an organization say, oh man, we gonna go above and beyond so we can get this guy a fair deal? If they were doing that, it'll be a whole lot of guys that'll be paid more than what they probably should be paid. Dak doesn't need to take any less than what he's asking for. He doesn't need to rush because the Cowboys have already shown that they're trying to win right now. And look, You could say for all intents and purposes, Dak saved the Cowboys. When Tony Romo was injured, there was no succession plan at all. Don't you believe that Dak and his agent knows that? He came in 13-3, played well, went to the playoffs. They had Zeke Elliott sitting in Cabo. You know who showed up? Dak. You know who didn't throw any aspersions about what Zeke should be doing? Dak. He was a leader in the locker room, in the franchise. It ain't going to be nobody in that organization from a player standpoint saying, Dak Prescott, man, come on, man. It need to be fair. Hell no. Get your money, and if you can get him for $3 or $4 million more, get him for $3 or $4 million more. They done paid everybody else.
Marcus, you literally just said you are worth what the market is willing to pay you. People are framing this like they're lowballing Dak Prescott. They're offering him top three, four quarterback money. That's his market. Like, they're offering him just below a Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers contract, two Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. They're offering him more than a Jared Goff or a Carson Wentz type of contract. That is the market. That is not necessarily, that is fair to where he sits. That's my thing. Like, this is not a low ball offer. This is a very fair offer to what he has been as a player. So don't sit there and say, like, you are worth what the market's willing to pay you, but then kind of undermine that offer. This is a good offer to Dak Prescott.
All right, much more on this coming up, especially from you guys. My favorite thing is we have now said the backup quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, Cooper Rush's name a couple of times on this show. Thanks, guys. Greeny to Sneaky Himbo.
Yeah, this is my favorite thing. If you're looking for a moment of normalcy, see if can we pop up, Cindy, pop up Orlovsky, because nothing will make me feel more normal than if he gets the question wrong. It is Sneaky Himbo. DeAndre Hopkins caught 632 passes in his first seven seasons. Only one player ever caught more in his first seven seasons. Orlovsky, who do you think it is?
Randy Moss.
Well, it's not a terrible guess, but it's not even close to right. It's Marvin Harrison is the answer. Marvin Harrison caught 665 passes in his first 7 years. And again, it just makes me feel good to see Dan Orlovsky getting the question wrong. Meanwhile, we had a couple big wide receiver trades go down yesterday. Let's get into this. The Texans traded that guy, DeAndre Hopkins, to the Cardinals for David Johnson and a second round pick. So that happened early in the day. Then much later in the day, the Vikings traded their wide receiver, Stephon Diggs, to the Bills for multiple draft choices, including a first-round pick. All of that is according to our Adam Schefter. But the key here is the first-round pick in a season where there are a ton of really good wide receivers coming out in the draft. With Minnesota getting the Bills' first-round pick, they will now have two number ones this year, 22 and 25 overall. The Texans have zero first-round picks and will not pick until the 40th spot in the second round. So I've been waiting all morning long to say, Marcus Spears, what do you make of the Houston Texans trading away DeAndre Hopkins at this stage of his career and their team and not getting a first-round pick in return?
I just want to shake my head for the rest of this segment, G. Dan and I have sat in the green room and we've talked. I don't know what Bill O'Brien is doing. I have no idea what the thought process is behind trading away a top receiver in his prime and a top quarterback is back there taking snaps from your center. I have no earthly idea what Bill O'Brien is thinking in this situation. And then to get Johnson, like, what are we seeing? Didn't you just say the Vikings got a first round pick for Stephon Diggs? Now, here's the deal. There has to be some personal things going on between D-Hop and Bill O'Brien for them to make this trade and for Bob McNair to sit back as the owner of that franchise and allow Bill O'Brien to make this trade blows my mind. I reached out to a couple of Texans fans and people around that organization yesterday. They feel like they're being played. They feel like they're being toyed with by D-Hop being traded, especially when we've seen his ability on the field and how close these guys, this was a playoff team with D-Hop. This was a playmaker. This is a guy that's going to go and make Kyler Murray a lot better. He's going to be there with Fitz and Christian Kirk. I have no idea, G. I have no answers. I know our job as analysts is to have answers. I don't have one damn answer for Bill O'Brien outside of the fact that he must be holding something over somebody very important head in the Houston Texans organization.
Go ahead, Dan.
I think the reality is this. Bill O'Brien has Bill Belichick power, but the Marvin Lewis resume. And I have no idea how. And I have no idea why. I mean, he's one of the five most power-yielding guys in the NFL, being the general manager and head coach of that football team. He's got Bill Belichick type of power, but his resume is similar to Marvin Lewis's. This is egregious on so many steps. First of all, you don't trade away DeAndre Hopkins. He's one of the rare players, not just receivers, players in the NFL. One of four guys that has been an all-pro three seasons in a row. You do not trade away those guys. Number two, if you make that decision to trade them away, you get a first-round pick for them. I mean, you think about some receivers that have been traded for first-round picks. Brandon Cooks was traded for a first-round pick twice. Percy Harvin was traded for a first-round pick. And you mean to tell me that you moved on from one of the best players in the NFL with a young quarterback that you can't protect for a tailback, all respect to David Johnson, but a tailback and a second-round pick? Like, is a mind-boggling decision by Bill O'Brien to unjustifiably trade away that player and then not get a first-round pick for him. It is something that if I'm Deshaun Watson, I said this during the playoff game. Guys, they were up 24-0 against the Chiefs, and now they sit here without DeAndre Hopkins. If I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm knocking on that door and going, this is not working. You are trading me. I'm not re-signing a long-term deal here. I love the city of Houston, but I do not believe in the course of actions that we're taking as an organization, and you have to trade me.
Swagger, final word.
I'm with it. I'm with it. Greeny, my man D.O., we don't agree a lot, but we agree on this one. I don't know what the hell they doing in Houston, man. Like, I have no stake in the game with the Houston Texans, and I was pissed off when this came across the wire. And oh, by the way, and to Dan's point, Dan mentioned David Johnson coming over. You know who else? They got two tailbacks that they went and traded for. They got Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson. I'm out on Bill O'Brien. Dan already knows my history with the whole thought process behind Bill O'Brien and what he's been doing. I'm out on him. I'm out. You don't trade D-Hop, and you don't trade D-Hop away from a franchise quarterback that has the potential to be one of the best all time in this league. Man, get the hell out of here, man. Let's go
Guys,
to something else.
We're going to stay with this for just a moment because I'm being told that I'm going to have some news in a minute that we will bring along. So I'm going to stay with this live for a second. Dan, let's pick up a different thought here if we can. Let's just very briefly talk about what this might mean in Arizona, because you use a first-round pick last year, the number one overall pick last year on Kyler Murray. He started showing a lot of signs last year, and now you bring him a guy who I think you could defend the argument is as good as any receiver in the NFL and very much in his prime. He could be a sneaky, interesting pick to have a monster season. And by he, Dan, I mean Kyler Murray.
No, you're absolutely right, Greeny. This is a massive move for Arizona and Kyler Murray. If you look at Kyler Murray last year and some of the things he did really well, one, he was outstanding throwing the deep ball. Well, DeAndre Hopkins is an outstanding deep ball receiver. One of the reasons why, he's got great competitive catch and he can go high point of football. It doesn't have blazing speed, but doesn't need it because he's got the competitive catch. Number two, Kyler Murray throwing outside of the pocket was really good last year and did it a lot. DeAndre Hopkins is one of the best outside of the pocket scramble type of receivers in the NFL. So you're looking at a team that wants to deploy four wide receivers in Arizona. Well, now you've got Larry Fitzgerald and Andy Isabella and Christian Kirk. And now you've got that central piece in DeAndre Hopkins. So an offense that wants to put four guys on the field at the
Dan,
wide receiver position all the time.
Dan, I'm going to cut you off there for a second. Dan, I'm sorry. Hold on one second. I'm going to cut you off. We have breaking news. I have Jeff. Someone tell me Jeff Darlington is ready to go. Jeff Darlington, our NFL insider, is ready to join us here with some extraordinarily significant news. Jeff, go ahead. The floor is yours.
Greeny, it is now official. Tom Brady will be leaving the New England Patriots. He will be playing his career elsewhere. This is not about where he will be playing. He has not decided that yet, but he will be playing his career elsewhere. He is leaving the New England Patriots. Tom Brady now making that announcement across social media platforms right now, saying to all my teammates, coaches, executives, and staff, Coach Belichick, Robert Kraft and the Kraft family and the entire organization, I want to say thank you for the past 20 years of my life and the daily commitment to winning and creating a winning culture built on great values. He does go on to say that I have benefited from all of you and all that you have given me. I have cherished every opportunity I have had to be part of our team, and I love you for all of that. Our team has always set a great standard in pro sports, and I know it will continue to do just that. Here's the key words here. Although my football journey will take place elsewhere, I appreciate everything that we have achieved and am grateful for our incredible team accomplishments. Tom Brady is leaving the New England Patriots.
It's extraordinary. It doesn't come as a surprise, and yet there's no question. It sort of takes your breath away for a brief moment when you hear that it is now official. So Tom Brady, and I'm just reading the tweet along with you as you started talking about it, releasing that very heartfelt message to Patriots Nation. He has been the quarterback of the New England Patriots for 20 years. They have played in 9 Super Bowls with him as the starting quarterback. They've won 6. He, as recently as just 2 years ago, was the Super Bowl champion. As recently as 4 years ago, I'm doing this off the top of my head, was the league MVP. He will turn 43 years old in August, and he will now turn his attention, as you say, to other places. So, Jeff, we now know one big piece. We don't know the next. What do you know right now as far as his plans for where that journey may take him?
Well, I want to be clear, and I've tried to make this clear over the past month, that it was never about the next team for Tom Brady. It was about the next chapter, and that is where we're at right now. Tom Brady saw this. He felt this. He knew that it was time for a change in his life and in his professional career. He wants to reinvigorate himself with football elsewhere. So where does he go from here? I've been trying to also say that he does, in fact, have a market. There are several teams that would like to sign Tom Brady. The Chargers and the Bucks are two of them, but there are other teams with varying levels of interest. But I don't want to go too far down that rabbit hole right now. I can tell you that he has thrown a wide-spanning net at this point. He is very interested in joining a number of teams. He covets a head coach who will collaborate with him. He covets a team that is built to win, but not necessarily one that needs to be immediately on the cusp of a Super Bowl. He also would like to be somewhere close to New York, but again, he's throwing a wide net. He would still be willing to go to the Chargers if that was the right fit. For now, though, for Tom Brady, it is about making clear that it's about the next chapter.
All right, Jeff, extraordinarily well done. It's interesting you mentioned New York. He and his wife and their kids are currently living in New York City. You can't get a lot closer to New York than Foxborough is if you look at all other NFL cities. But he is now definitively saying goodbye to them. Our NFL insider, Adam Schefter, is ready to go. Schefter, I'm going back months now. You were sitting at this very desk, and you were telling us that this felt like the likeliest scenario to you. What can you tell us right now? Again, Tom Brady posting on social media a thank you, a heartfelt thank you to Patriots Nation. He is leaving New England.
Well, Greeny, I don't believe he's got his decision right now, but clearly he's got enough of a decision and enough of an idea to know that he's not going back to New England. But this is the type of thing that we've been saying here for a while now. Jeff Darlington said it. We've been talking about it on the show. Again, the signs all along, the breadcrumbs led out of Foxborough. There was nothing that took place within the last 7-8 months that would lead you to believe that Tom Brady was going to return to New England. Again, let's keep it all in mind and let's go back and retrace some of the history. He voided his contract, which actually voids today, is the day that the last 2 years on the deal void. He set it up to void that way. He set it up to become a free agent. There were no substantive contract talks at all between the New England Patriots and Tom Brady, despite the fact that there's been speculation that there would be, that the Patriots would come strong. Never happened. Tom Brady was open-minded about leaving New England and basically exploring what was out there, listening to other teams. Yesterday, the negotiating period opened. It was the first day he was allowed to hear from other teams. Again, there's been nothing over the last 7-8 months that suggests to you that Tom Brady wanted to return to New England. And I don't think this is a football decision only. I think this is a life decision. This is a decision that involves him, his wife, his children, his family, his lifestyle, his TB12 models. So it goes beyond just football. And someone said last week, why is there tension? Why is there stress? Why does he want to leave New England? What's wrong there? And I don't think it's a negative situation. This was a group that was together for 20 years that won 6 Super Bowls that accomplished more than any combination in history. This was just a situation where basically, and we said this yesterday, if you're on your job for 20 years, you're in your marriage 20 years, there are people that decide to just leave their jobs. There are people who decide to end their marriages. There are people who just want a new challenge, want to do something different. And I think that's where he's been at. And he's been at that point all season long. And the people didn't want to believe it. They didn't. They couldn't imagine him wearing any other helmet but the New England Patriots helmet. But this is what it has led to all along. This has been building. The signs have pointed to this. Nobody could believe it. Nobody wanted to accept it. Again, nothing ever happened between him and the Patriots here. It never got to an advanced stage. It never got close. But Tom Brady announced this morning again that he's taking his talents elsewhere. He'll be playing elsewhere in 2020. And now that's official. And now we try to figure out where he will wind up.
Yes, both of you have been saying this, have been steadfast, both Shefty and Jeff Darlington. I'm told we have the post built so that we can read this to you here. This, again, is Tom Brady, who posted his message to Patriot Nation. I'll read it along with you. I wanted to say thank you to all of the incredible fans and Patriot supporters. Massachusetts has been my home for 20 years. It has truly been the happiest 2 decades I could have envisioned in my life, and I have nothing but love and gratitude for my time in New England. The support has been overwhelming. I wish every player could experience it. My children were born and raised here, and you always embraced this California kid as your own. I love your commitment and loyalty to your teams, and winning for our city means more than you will ever know. I can't thank you enough for the support of our team, the packed training camps and sold out stadiums, and mostly the victory parades. I've been so blessed to share them with you all. I tried to represent us always in the best and most honorable way, and I fought hard with my teammates to help bring victory and triumph even in the most dire situations. You opened your heart to me, and I opened my heart to you, and Pats Nation will always be a part of me. I don't know what my football future holds, but it is time for me to open a new stage for my life and career. I thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I will always love you and what we have shared, a lifetime full of fun memories. I'm told we have Mike Reese ready to go, our Patriots reporter. I see you're there at the facility in Foxborough. Go ahead, Mike, I'll give you the floor. What is your reaction to what we're seeing here?
Well, Greeny, I want to give you just the team perspective here at the facility. This is not a major surprise to the Patriots. You know, behind the scenes over the last couple days, it's my understanding that there was a hope that there would be maybe some dialogue. You know, hey, what would it take to bring you back? But there wasn't necessarily a reciprocation from Tom Brady, almost a feeling that maybe it was, you know, his decision. Nothing you can do here for the Patriots right now would bring me back. I want this fresh start. And all along, Greeny, we've said there were two big questions that needed to be answered. How far would Bill Belichick go to bring him back? And how badly did Tom Brady really want to be back? And this answers the second question. I think many people assumed Brady wanted to come back because this is all he's known for 20 years. But as he said in his posts, it's time for a fresh start. It really clears up that second question.
No question about that. Now, Mike, I'm going to ask you to speculate perhaps a little here. But people will look at this from the outside and wonder how much of this has to do with a challenging relationship, and that I'm just choosing that word at random, between Brady and Belichick. As of right now, what do we know about the relationship between those two?
I would say this, Greeny. That is a business relationship. And the last couple of years, Tom Brady had his contract renegotiated. And I would say it's fair to say that didn't go the way that Tom Brady hoped. And maybe this would be a different ending if the team and Bill Belichick had extended more. Bill Belichick would acknowledge at this point he was more comfortable going in a year-to-year setup with Tom Brady. Had it been different and there had been a thought of, hey, let's spread this out so you can reach your goal of playing the 45 and we'll work with you, maybe this does have a different ending. But I never sensed that it was deeply personal, Greeny. Just more business, and they still worked together and had incredibly productive results doing so, but just more from a business perspective than anything.
All right. And then so back to the very first thing you said, Mike, that this would not come as a huge surprise to Bill Belichick and the folks there at the Patriots organization. That means that they must have some planning in place. So I can't believe I'm asking you this question, but who do we expect now to be the quarterback for the New England Patriots next season?
Well, let's look at who they have on their roster. They drafted Jarrett Stidham in the fourth round last year, and they have Cody Kessler. Now, they might bring in someone else, Greeny, but their salary cap situation is such that it wouldn't be really a big ticket type of guy. They don't have the room to do that. So this sort of hits the reset button for them and allows them financially to say, let's look at the young kid, Jarrett Stidham, see how that goes, and maybe we bring in a veteran, but at a lower cost. So it's a total reset, Greeny, and there's financial considerations in play with that. I would be surprised if they aggressively go out and look at the veteran market at a high-cost level right now.
All right, Mike Reese, thank you. We will certainly be coming back to you all day long. Let me bring Orlovsky and Swagoo back in here. So, guys, we have been talking about this for months, and as I said, it still is somewhat jarring when you actually hear the words. Dan Orlovsky, we'll start with you. What's your reaction? Tom Brady posting on social media he is leaving the New England Patriots.
Yeah, Greeny, you know I've felt this way since January. Even that being said, when Darlington came on and made that announcement, I had chills. I had goosebumps on my body, and I'll be honest with you, I'm just a huge fan. I was getting emotional just thinking about it, just kind of re-racking my brain through Tom Brady's history. This was a decision made by Tom because what has transpired in New England. If we're going to sit here and go, why did this happen? In many ways, the Patriots failed to support him during the back end of his career, to give him the necessary people to allow him to play at the level that he's kind of has that self-expectation to play at. And I'm not surprised by this at all. I have felt this way since January. I did not think there was a chance that Tom Brady was going back to New England. There's much better options for him to go. And now that we see that come true, I'm excited. This is also at the same time exciting. This is the greatest quarterback of all time. Kind of reinvigorating himself. He's going to reinvigorate a franchise and in many ways send a shot into the NFL. And so this is a very exciting next 24 to 36 hours to see where he lands.
Swagoo.
Well, I didn't get chills and I didn't get emotional. It ain't all that for me. It's football. And I know a lot of people couldn't wrap their minds around the fact that Tom Brady would be in another uniform. But, like Dan said, we've been talking about this. But it wasn't that. To me, it wasn't shocking. I don't know why. I just know that the nature of this business. I look at it from a different point of view, and I understand the work that Tom Brady has put in New England. I understand the accomplishments and the things that they were able to accomplish. But like I said, man, Peyton Manning played for somewhere else. Brett Favre played on another team. We've seen this time and time again, and obviously because it's New England, because it's Tom Brady, and we were in the here and now, a lot of people couldn't wrap their minds around the fact that he would leave and go play somewhere else. But that's just what it boils down to, man. And I'm actually happy for Tom Brady. If I was to describe my emotion, I'm happy for him. I'm happy that he gets a chance to go somewhere else and play. And like many have said, New England is a hard place to play when it comes to the everyday overall grind. So maybe he goes somewhere else, can experience success and experience another side of football like a lot of guys do when they change organizations.
I'm just thinking of legendary quarterbacks who did not finish their careers with the teams for which they will always be remembered. Swagoo, you just mentioned. Peyton Manning didn't finish as a Colt. Brett Favre didn't finish as a Green Bay Packer. Joe Montana did not finish his career as a San Francisco 49er. Joe Namath did not finish his career as a New York Jet. All of those happened, and yet there does seem to be something a little bit different about this. Tom Brady and the Patriots, it went 20 full seasons. It felt like this might be more like some of the others that we've seen, and I just jotted some names down. Kobe Bryant played his entire career as a Laker. Tim Duncan played his entire career as a San Antonio Spur. Derek Jeter played his entire career as a New York Yankee. And so here we are. I think I lean a little more towards Dan's side of this. The sports geek in me will be stunned to see Tom Brady wearing a different jersey and a different helmet next year. Now we can start trying to figure out which jersey and which helmet it will be after the extraordinary news that, again, does not come as a surprise and yet does hit you pretty hard. Which within the last few minutes, this extraordinary breaking news that Tom Brady has announced via social media that he is leaving the New England Patriots. He posted a very emotional, heartfelt thank you and goodbye to the fans in New England, to the fans in Massachusetts, and announced that his journey is now going to take him somewhere else. Mike Reese told us just moments ago from New England this would not come as a huge surprise to the Patriots organization. Here is the message from Tom Brady to all my teammates, coaches, executives. Wait, we just changed it, so I'll read this one then. I wanted to say thank you to all the incredible fans and Patriots supporters. Massachusetts has been my home for 20 years. It has truly been the happiest two decades I could have envisioned in my life. I have nothing but love and gratitude for my time in New England. The support has been overwhelming. I wish every player could experience it. My children were born and raised here. You always embraced this California kid as your own. I love your commitment and loyalty to your teams. And winning for our city means more than you will ever know. I can't thank you enough for the support of our team, the packed training camps and sold-out stadiums, and mostly the victory parades. I've been so blessed to share them with you all. I tried to represent us always in the best and most honorable way, and I fought hard with my teammates to help bring victory and triumph even in the most dire situations. You opened your heart to me, and I opened my heart to you, and Pats Nation will always be a part of me. I don't know what my football future holds, but it is time for me to open a new stage for my life and career. I thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I'll always love you and what we have shared, a lifetime full of fun memories. Again, he posted separate messages on different social media platforms, which is why we saw one change to the other. Here's Jeff Darlington, who has been connected to this as well as anybody has for the last few months. And Jeff, you have been telling us all along on this show and elsewhere that this was your expectation.
That's right, Greeny, and I think that in the weeks and months and even years to follow from now, we will look back on the last month and maybe realize with history behind us how this all went down and to understand that a lot of the narratives that existed publicly the past month were quite frankly just not right. This wasn't necessarily about turning into a bidding war, flirting with the idea of free agency, and eventually going back to the Patriots just because it would be fun for Brady to feel wanted somewhere else. This was always about another adventure, about being reinvigorated, about taking his career somewhere else for fun. And I think that that's something that is difficult for people to digest at this point. And that makes sense. We're talking about a 42-year-old quarterback who is perhaps the greatest of all time, who played 20 years in one place. It's hard to fathom, but for Brady, it is not.
So going someplace else in the interest of having more fun and reinvigorating himself, we get all of that. I have to believe somewhere along the line, however, he will prioritize a chance to win. I assume he doesn't want to go to a place, you know, and play badly and finish his career in a losing situation. So as we sort of sit back and look at the realistic options for him here, where winning might be on the table as an immediate option, where should we be looking right now?
Well, I mean, I think it is fascinating from Brady's perspective that once again, I think people were expecting Brady to be looking at the football landscape and saying, where is a better roster than New England? And that's not necessarily the whole story. By all means, Greeny, you're absolutely right. Like, finding a place that is capable of winning is certainly important. But, like, let's talk about the Bucs, for instance. I don't think that people going into this next season would have had the Bucs as a Super Bowl potential contender. And yet, I think Brady can look at the Bucs organization, at least, and say that this is a team that has weapons on offense, that has a defense that was ranked generally in the top five in most categories toward the end of last season, a coach who is very compatible. We can look back to his days with Pittsburgh, with Ben Roethlisberger, when he would allow Roethlisberger to have a lot of say in game planning. When you look at those, the makeup of that team, you can start to understand what Brady is looking for. And I'm not saying that he'll wind up with the Bucs necessarily. It's possible. But I think it's important to look at that and say, maybe we need to open our minds here and say that it's not just about the team that's on the cusp of the Super Bowl, but instead one that Tom Brady can be a part of, can kind of impart some of the wisdom, create a new culture, and then perhaps get that team to a Super Bowl.
Fair. I have one more for Jeff, guys, before we go to Shefty. And then that is, we are in extraordinary circumstances here. He is going to conduct this free agency during with the specter of a coronavirus, which, as we all understand, has shut our society down in so many different ways. So we will have to assume he's not going to be doing the kind of travel and meetings that we normally would see accustomed to something like this. So what can we imagine this process is going to look like? And maybe most significantly, what can we guess a timetable will look like for Tom Brady to choose where this journey takes him?
Well, another fascinating element of this is before everything that has hit our society occurred, Tom Brady was not preparing to engage in a free agency plan that would see it come out like a Peyton Manning-style tour. In fact, I honestly never even got the sense that he felt the need to even, you know, do what Kevin Durant did and go to the Hamptons and have everybody come to him. I've gotten the sense all along that Brady feels like he knows enough about the NFL culture. He has enough relationships throughout this league that for him, this is not maybe as complicated as the rest of us believe it to be. Like, I always picture Brady sitting in a boardroom with all of his confidants and associates around him handing him manila folders. And then the more I learned, the more I realized that that's not exactly the way that Brady is approaching or looking at this. So to your point, the things that we've seen the NFL institute in the last day, quite honestly, I don't think it's going to impact anything.
I think that's a really important part of all of this. Jeff Darlington, extremely well done. Stay close by. We will need more from you. Laura has Shefty. Laura, go.
All right. So, Shefty, as we hear about all of this breaking news surrounding Tom Brady not returning to the Patriots, but we're trying to figure out where he may go. Yesterday on this show, you were just throwing out a few teams. You said the Bucks, you said the Chargers, you said the Raiders and the Dolphins. As you try and look at this, what do you think is most likely for Brady right now?
Well, let me say this, Laura, right now. I can tell you this, which has been confirmed. He does not have a decision right now. He is exploring his options. And I do believe there are options, despite the skepticism that some have had. He's Tom Brady. And yes, there are teams out there, and there are many teams that have gone through this exercise of trying to figure out, are we better off with the guy we have playing quarterback, or are we better off making a move at the quarterback we have right now, that position, and moving on and bringing in Tom Brady. And so there are teams that have gone through this. One team just called up just joking, hey, we're going to trade our quarterback right now and bring in Tom Brady. But the fact of the matter is, where we're at today, right now, he does not have a decision. He's exploring his options. He's not going to rush into a decision to make a decision to sign somewhere else until he's ready. And in this day and age where the coronavirus is going on, he's not allowed to visit with other teams. So maybe there could be FaceTime calls. Certainly there'll be conversations that occur. But he believes that he is far enough along to make the decision that I'm not going to go back to New England, which tells you that he had to be in this spot all along. And he had to know that when he was walking off that field in Foxborough after the playoff loss to Tennessee, he had to know in his mind at that point in time that there was a real possibility that he would not be returning there as the quarterback of the New England Patriots. And so now we sit back and it's 2 decades. It's 2 decades of sustained excellence where this franchise and this quarterback have combined to win 6 Super Bowls. And now there are going to be fresh starts for each. Where Tom Brady winds up, we'll see. You mentioned those options. The Chargers, the Buccaneers, the Dolphins, others that are weighing whether or not to make a move on Tom Brady. And then the Patriots. What do they do with the quarterback position? And the Patriots, as we said, are a very patient, thoughtful organization. I don't think they're going to rush into anything because Tom Brady announces that he's leaving. It's not like today they're going to go sign Philip Rivers, who's been talking to the Colts, or go trade for a quarterback that's out there right now. They'll sit back. They'll let the quarterback landscape calm down, and they'll make a move at the right time. And it may just be that they want to win without a high-priced quarterback. It may be that they take their resources and allocate them to the defensive side of the football and begin rebuilding. They've got Jared Stidham, an inexpensive quarterback on a rookie contract. Maybe you go draft another rookie quarterback. Maybe you sign one of these free agent quarterbacks that's left standing without a deal in a couple of weeks, which is the Patriot way. And maybe you got 3 quarterbacks there left vying for a spot. They have time to sort through this, but the bottom line is 2 decades are over. Tom Brady's moving on, the Patriots are moving on, and it becomes a historical day.
Yeah, it almost still doesn't even seem real as we sit here and talk through it. So much more coming your way on Get Up around Tom Brady and this breaking news as we carry on getting info, information, and insight from all over the place at ESPN about this breaking news. Tom Brady announcing he will not return to the Patriots. We're back with more on Get Up.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
We're back on Get Up on ESPN, and if you were just joining us, enormous breaking news. Within just the last half hour, Tom Brady has posted multiple messages on his social media platforms announcing that he is leaving the New England Patriots and that his, quote, football journey will continue elsewhere. He posted heartfelt messages to the fans of the New England Patriots, and in the end says that he's going elsewhere. Again, he will be 43 years old in August and now finding a new team after 20 seasons with the Patriots. At the beginning of Brady's career in New England, one of his teammates was our Damian Woody, who joins us now on the phone. D. Wood, what's your reaction? Tom Brady making it official. He is leaving the Patriots.
Well, Greeny, I've been saying on the show for months along with Adam Schefter that I thought it would happen, but until you actually hear the announcement, it's still like a shock to me because I know the impact. I know what Tom Brady means to the whole New England region of the country, and I'm in shock right now. But one thing I've always said throughout this whole conversation about Brady possibly leaving New England is that it was bigger than Tom, Bill, and Mr. Kraft. We all always said that, you know, there are other aspects that's going to play into this decision, and I think it played itself out.
And so those other aspects would include family considerations, D. Wood?
Yeah, that's correct. I think family considerations. I think, you know, aspirations beyond just football, the TB12 brand. I think maybe presenting a different challenge. I mean, you're talking about a guy who for 20 years was the pillar of excellence as far as the game of football is concerned. And when you've reached the pinnacle that Tom Brady has reached, you're always looking for different challenges. And I think this day has come where he's turned the page on 20 years of excellence in New England. And we're going to see, you know, Tom moving on to another organization and, you know, being presented with another challenge.
What makes sense to you, D. Wood? Where, in your mind, would it make sense for him to go next?
Well, listen, I have been saying the L.A. Chargers, I think, would be a good fit. But Tampa Bay is really intriguing to me. I heard, you know, Dan Orlowski talk about it earlier in the show. Todd Bowles in that defense, he's really transformed that defense. The weapons that they have on offense, and Bruce Arians is the type of, he's a quarterback-friendly guy. We all know the type of quarterbacks he's worked with. Andrew, you know, Big Ben Roethlisberger, Peyton Manning, Carson Palmer. So he runs a quarterback-friendly system. So I think that fit down in Tampa Bay seems pretty good.
And finally, what will the Patriots be now? This is a team that has owned their division forever. They played in 9 of the last 19 Super Bowls. As of this moment, Jarrett Stidham is the number one quarterback on their depth chart. We'll see if they go out and get somebody. What are the Patriots now?
Well, listen, they still have the greatest head coach of all time in Coach Belichick. So even though this might not be the same iteration that we've seen of the Patriots for the last 20 years, that he will figure it out. It's going to take some time, but trust me, the Patriot way isn't going anywhere. And this is what we all want. This is the question that we all wanted to answer to. Is it Belichick or is it Brady? Well, guess what? We're about to find out.
Yeah, and of course, we may find out it was both of them, depending on how things play out for Brady's new team and his old one. D. Wood, thank you so much. We'll check in with you again soon. Laura?
All right, we've got Marcus Spears and Dan Orlovsky with us now. And here's the thing, guys. We keep throwing out these same teams, the Chargers, the Bucks. But, Dan, if you think about the teams that now know it's real, that Tom Brady will not go back to the Patriots, could there be more in the mix, you think, Dan?
Oh, absolutely. I think that there was teams in the NFL that general manager-wise were like, yeah, we'll see if he actually does it. No matter what he tells me, no matter what his agent tells me, I want him to actually do it before we legitimately entertain either making a move or going after him in free agency. And now that Tom Brady has made this move, I promise you, there are teams that we aren't thinking are realistic options that are now realistic options. Teams that have quarterbacks that are good players and going, all right, maybe now that he's decided he's definitely moving on, maybe we need to revisit this, because I'm telling you, if you watch the tape, there are going to be plenty of teams in the NFL that say, this guy's an upgrade over the guy that we have right now. And so I think there's going to be more teams that come out of the woodwork. And also, we have to remember, Peyton Manning, is the only quarterback in the NFL history to win a Super Bowl with two different teams. This is about Tom Brady, and I've said this from the beginning, going to win a Super Bowl, and I will stay committed to that.
I just believe that Tom Brady is looking for a team that's going to give him an opportunity right away. And I'm not sure if that's Tampa. I understand that there's a making and the nucleus there is good. But I just can't help but get the L.A. Chargers off my mind. This was a 12-4 football team 2 years ago. We were talking about, I remember Rex Ryan talking about this, the best team in football. They're not far removed from that. So I'm intrigued about what the possibilities are with Tom Brady and what teams would be interesting. I think the Chargers is the best spot for Tom Brady to have some success. And I know the Patrick Mahomes and the AFC, and I know all of that. But this is Tom Brady we're talking about, and this is an opportunity for him to go somewhere else, like Woody said, and prove that he was the guy and it wasn't Belichick.
All right, thanks so much. More to come from you guys on this reaction. And Greeny, we've got more analysts joining us as well this morning.
Absolutely. Our coverage is wall-to-wall for the rest of this show. Rex Ryan, I'm being told, will join us in just a few minutes with his reaction to about the biggest story you could have in the National Football League. Tom Brady says his career in New England is over. Where does he go next, and to whom do they turn? We'll answer those questions as we continue. Get Up on ESPN.